I'm going to give you a key to victory. Look at somebody and say, this is my key to victory. Turn over in your Bibles real quick to Isaiah 61 and 3. Isaiah 61, 3. Isaiah 61 and 3. He says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Look at somebody and say, God is going to transfer beauty for the ashes in my life. There's some of you in this room, you've got some burnt trails behind you. You've got some laid to waste stuff in your life. The Bible knows that God tells us he can turn the ashes in your life.
Yes, Lord.
The ash heap in your life into a beautiful thing. I know God's going to transform your condition into a beautiful thing. You ought to shout that out right now. I know God is transforming the ashes in my life into beauty. He says, then he goes on, he says, let them put on the garment. Let them put on the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. I want to encourage you that every time the devil comes to weight you down, every time the devil comes to put pressure on you, that he comes to try and bring some kind of havoc into your life, the Bible tells us there's a cloak that you and I can put on that will make a massive difference in our future. You see, we got to realize something. I'm going to tell you just a key to understand this, because I've always talked about praise as gate opening and wall falling and all those kinds of things. But there's an additional thing I want to add to the idea of praise this morning. And that it's a, not just that it's a garment we can put on, but maybe if you can understand why praise works, it will help you. And here's the thing. Here's what you have to understand. It says that we put on the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. That means we're skipping when we ought to be crying.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. We're laughing when we ought to be weeping. We're jumping and leaping when we ought to be crawling. Somebody ought to know what I'm talking about. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that way in your life? I mean, you just felt like I ought to be on the ground. That's when you ought to stand up. When you feel like I've just been punched in the face one time too many, I don't know if I can get up. That's the time to get up and say, but God! Glory to God, who makes all grace abound to me, that I can have all sufficiency in all things and can abound in my life. But God is able to make that grace abound to you. You don't have to stay on the floor. You can get up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Get up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just about to go over somewhere. Praise celebrates what God has done. We understand that. We say that praise, it celebrates what God did, what he's doing, what he's going to do. But it celebrates what God has done, and it invokes his intervention in our lives. It isn't just a celebration of what God has done or what he's going to do, but it is an invoking power. It is a weapon of warfare for every single believer. God gave each one of you in this room a weapon of great power. I would call it a weapon of mass destruction. Not only is it a weapon of mass destruction, it's a weapon of mass construction. God uses praise as a form of intervention. You see, when I get up here and try to get you to praise and worship, it is not just so we can have a louder service. It's not just so we can get our aerobics in on Sunday morning. No. It's more, much more than that. I remember when I was a kid. My mom and dad were pastoring a church in a place called Stott City, Missouri. And so while they were pastoring this church, it was a small church in basically a small country town. There weren't more than 500 in the town. And so on a Sunday morning during the service, a man came running through the back doors of the building. And he busted those back doors open. And when he did, he started yelling, "Your house is on fire." And so what happened was the parsonage that my mom and dad lived in was right next door to the church. And during the service, somebody had set the house on fire. And when he came running in, the interesting part about that is my parents had just moved in the night before. So all of the, everything that they had out of the U-Hauls, all that stuff, had all been moved into this house. All the pictures. Our little chihuahua was in that house. And so by the time the fire department got there, the place was fully engaged and nearly burnt to the ground. Everything we owned was inside that house. And I remember my dad just sitting at the altar of the church because there's nothing he could do. He went right back in the church, and I still remember him sitting like an altar was there. And that morning, a young Bible school student had come from the Bible school my father was going to, and the Bible school student didn't have anything and couldn't pay his bills at the school, and he was trying to encourage my father. So he said to my dad, he said, Mr. McCart, he said, Pastor McCart, he said, I would give you something, I would bless you, but I don't have anything that I could give you. He said, because, you know, I'm going through something similar. I can't pay my bill. They're going to kick me out of school this week, and it's all over. This is our house. It's burning down next door. And so my dad listened to the story, and my dad got up. I watched him. He reached in his pocket. He had the offering in his pocket. He never counted it. I don't know what it was, but it would be significant. He took that out of his hand. He put it in that boy's hand and said, you'll be able to finish your school. In the midst of the flames, in the midst of the house going down. And then I walked outside and I saw my mother. The crowd of the city was around, a small town, and the fire truck had just arrived. My mother knelt down in front of that house and she began to praise God. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You're going to come through. You're going to carry us. See, that's how I grew up. I don't know that everybody's had that, but I want to tell you that's how life can be. I want to encourage you. Maybe some of my life can show you that it doesn't always have to be, because in the worst tragedies are always the greatest triumphs. The greatest victory that man had ever had and will ever have, it looked like Jesus had died on the cross. It looked like that the devil had won. It looked like salvation had ended. But on that cross, when Jesus died, the greatest victory in mankind took place right in the middle of the greatest defeat in mankind. Maybe you've never thought of that, that at that moment, when that seed died, the tree could come up with all of us on it. We could all become sons at that moment. Glory to God. Don't you think that when the devil has come that he won? He just gave you an opportunity for victory. He just gave you an opportunity for triumph. He just gave you a moment to succeed and overcome. I wish somebody shout out amen. You got your moment. You got your moment. God is going to come through for you. I watched her on that ground. Praise God. Thank you, God. It set something, a tone in my life. When it was all over with, it just looked like it was total tragedy. It wasn't too long after that, just within hours, that a man pulled up into the church lot with a double-wide 70 by whatever, a double-wide trailer, fully furnished, and set that thing up in the back of that church. Within hours. So much stuff started coming in by the truckloads and trailer loads. This is unsolicited. That my dad had to put an ad in the newspaper to ask people to stop giving because we couldn't take all that they had given. Don't you let the devil get you down. Don't you let the devil tear you down. Don't you let him make you think that it's all over. I mean, I don't know what you're going through today, but some of you sat in this room and thought, how do I come back from this? God's going to help you come back. Here's what it says. We put on the garment of praise for the Spirit of heaven is because it invokes an intervention into the life of the believer. Listen to Psalms 92, 1 and 2. It says, it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Praise God, it's a good thing. We all ought to be giving thanks to the Lord because it's a good thing. And to sing praises to His name. And then it goes on to say this, O Most High, to show forth your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Not only are we doing it because it's a good thing, but when we praise God, we manifest His goodness. we manifest his faithfulness. We guarantee it. We initiate it. We engage it in our lives. We engage the faithfulness. We engage God into our lives. We engage praise to celebrate his loving kindness and his faithfulness. And by such, we invoke his intervention. Praise invokes the intervention of God. You can't stay sad when you praise. You can't stay down when you praise. I wish somebody would shout out, praise God! Celebrating the reliability of God's word. See, when we praise God, we are celebrating God's reliable word. We can rely on it. I can count on God's word. See, you're not just praising God for his loving kindness. When you praise God, you are celebrating. You are validating in your life. You are committing God to his faithfulness to his word. You're celebrating the reliability of God's word. I don't know if you understand what I just said. When you get up and start praising God, you're able. You're able. Oh, praise God. This thing's going to be okay. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm going to overcome. You have just stated the reliability of God's word. If you don't praise him, you're missing a moment. By singing and dancing and shouting and waving, praise is not about the happenings of your life. It's about making things happen. Yo, I'd write that down. I'd just write that down. Praise is not about the happenings in your life. Praise is about making things happen in your life. Making things happen. When you praise, you make things happen. Praise is the staging area to make things happen. You know, there's places where they're getting ready to have it. You ever been to the beginning of a parade? They have a staging area where they put everything that's about to go out. When you begin to praise God, you're in the staging area of your miracle. Some of you let the tree on your house be what you're praising. Why don't you praise the God who's going to take care of the tree on your house? Praise him. Praise him. Praise is staging our future. Praise is a celebration of what is written. Psalm 59, 56, 9, and 10 says this. When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies be turned back. This I know. For God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. Praise is a celebration of the infallibility of God's word. God's word will never fail. When I praise, I believe that. I stand and shout. I believe. I celebrate God's infallible word. God said it. Even if I don't see it, even if I don't know it, I know him and I know his word. He does not fail. Somebody ought to shout out amen. It's a celebration of his faithfulness. His faithfulness. God's faithful. We don't just praise God for what has happened. We praise God to make things happen. Psalm 67, 5 and 7. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let the people praise thee. Then. Psalm 67, 5 and 7. Let's look at it. 67, 5 and 7. Psalm 67, 5 and 7. Look at it. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us and all the ends of the earth that he might be glorified. Let me read it again. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let the people praise thee. Then shall the earth. You see, the creation in your life, the break forth of fruit in your life, the increase of your life is connected to the fruit of your lips. When you praise God, you open up your reception. Then things begin to happen. Then things begin to transfer. Then things begin to transpire. Praise engages the engine for manifestation. Praise engages the engine for manifestation. And if I were you, this is my post for today, and I didn't give it to them, so it's not going to be on the screen, but praise is a neglected spiritual weapon, and yet is one of the most effective weapons in the believer's arsenal. When they began to sing praises, the Israelites were in trouble. They were in a mess. But when they began to praise God, when all the armies were against them, the Bible says God took over the battle. Praise releases God for the battle. Praise takes the battle out of your hand and puts it in God's hand. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. If you really want to hand it off, because many of you have said, I just left it in God's hand. I've just put it in God's hands. It ought to be a lot different than that. Because if you're going to put it in God's hands, it's going to require praise. I thank you, God, that this thing isn't going to last. I thank you, God, my children are going to turn around. I see it. I thank God right now Johnny is about to come out of that mess he's in. He's going to stop doing that garbage. The devil's got him lied to. I thank God his eyes are coming up. God, I put it in your hand. Ah, hallelujah. It's a whole lot different, isn't it? Because praise is what actually releases that thing into God's hand. You're not releasing it when you're still sorrowful about it. You still got an emotion toward it. You're still holding that thing if you're still weeping about it. The Bible says joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. You might weep at night, but when you begin to praise in the middle of the night, like they did in the Bible says they were in jail, locked up in the book of Acts, and it tells us that they were in a mess at midnight. But about midnight, they began to see, they turned it over to God, handed that thing over. Here we go, God. Shandai. They begin to pray and sing. When the saints go marching in, I don't think y'all understand a word I'm saying. It was when they handed it to God and said, God, we can't do a thing about this, but we know the God who can. We can't unlock the door, but we know the God who can unlock the door. We can't change the jailer's heart, but I know a God who can change the jailer's heart. I know how to get out of this. Woo! Hallelujah. I'll just start singing and dancing and shouting and praying because, God, you got this thing. You got this. I want you to look at somebody and say, God's got this. God knows how to hook up your insurance claim. God knows how to bring you a car. God knows how to make sure you got food in your fridge. My God is in control. Steadfast. Not only that, but God shows us that praise unlocked prophecy. It was not until Abraham began to praise God that the prophecy of Isaac came. Romans 4:20 tells us, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. I don't know if you've ever saw that in that scripture. But it was praise in the midst of his faith that handed the situation over to the God who could handle it. You got to hand your situation over to the God who can handle it. And praise is what hands it over to God. Isaac came after he praised. Praise never loses a battle. Whatever battle God cannot lose, praise cannot lose. That's like a revelation. No, that's like sweet honey. That's like getting honey out of the bee's nest. Right out of the honeycomb right there. That's like. Did you hear what I just said? Because praise only invokes the power of God on who he is, what he is, and what he does. And so if I have connected my celebration to his word, which is infallible, and I've connected my celebration to who he is, who's faithful, who never lies, if I connect my praise to that, then if God cannot lose the battle, praise cannot lose the battle. Praise is sea moving. The Bible says in Psalm 22 and 3, but thou art holy. O thou that inhabits the, you inhabit the praises of Israel. Before they went across the Red Sea, the Bible says that God was with them. God was with, how do you think God was with them? He inhabits. The reason they were able to walk across the sea was because God was with them. And the reason God was with them is because God inhabits the praises of his people. Whatever battle God cannot lose, praise cannot lose. It's barrier breaking. Joshua 6:20 says, so the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpet loudly. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet that the people shouted with a great shout, and the walls came down flat, so that the people went across into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. High praises are barrier breakers, mountain movers. If you are too dignified, listen to me now. Are you ready? Because this is our word, because we're going to leave here praising, and I got a wedding to do in about 30 minutes. If you are too dignified for the kind of praise I'm talking about, high praises, then you are too dignified for the breakthrough you need. That's good preaching. That's really good. Some of you need to realize it's time, just like that lady back there. I heard from heaven for you, sister. God saw your dance. I tell you this morning, God saw your dance. I've never in 17 years had somebody come up on my platform and dance like you danced. I've never brought anyone on that. But your praise was acknowledged this morning by God. I promise you before heaven. When you see that kind of thing come out of somebody's heart, that's not some stage, something or another where we go and plan and perform. We're not in performance. God wants it from our heart. When we praise him, it's got to come out of our heart. It's got to come out of the abundance. That's praise out of the abundance of the heart. That's a praise that says, God, I love you, and I don't care who's watching. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care who sees what. God, do you see it? God, do you see it? Do you see? God, do you see me spinning? God, do you see the heart? Do you see my lips quivering? God, do you see it? That's the kind of praise that was going on the back 40. The Bible says that he would wake up, and David would wake up in the morning and said, he said, early in the morning will I rise up and seek thee. As the deer pants. For the water, so my soul longeth after thee. When everybody else was shown, God saw. David was out on the back 40 with some sheep.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, I love you.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, I love you. And God. God saw him. God saw his passion. God saw a man that even though he was failed and would make mistakes, even though he would fall apart in his future and have issues in his family and trouble on his every side, he saw a man that he knew would keep coming back to. I sense it's about to rise in this room. If you'll take this, what I'm saying to you this morning, if you're too dignified to praise God at the level of your need, you will never have your breakthrough. Then you're too dignified for your breakthrough. I tell you, if I was you right now, I'd just begin to blow kisses. I don't mean literally. I mean, I just begin to worship right here. Just begin to praise Him. Right here in this room, just begin to praise Him. Praise Him at the level of your breakthrough. Praise Him at the level of your need. Begin to praise Him for everything that's coming in your future. Begin to invoke the presence of God into your situation. Begin to apply God to your character. Begin to do it. Come on, right there where you're at. Begin to invoke God into your job and into your raise and pay and into your marriage and into your health. Begin to invite Him in. Come on, right now. Come on, have a crazy praise. Have a radical praise.